Hey everyone, and welcome to the 19th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This podcast will be an opportunity to highlight some of the amazing members of the One of Us community and help you meet some of the people that make this the greatest group of individuals on the internet. The One of Us community is an inclusive gaming community made up of content creators, viewers, and gamers from all over the world. The community focuses on the tenets of playing games, having fun, and helping to lift each other up. The Discord is open to all people who share these values at discord.gg/oneofus. Make sure you follow and review the podcast to help others find it and join the community. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, consider supporting it at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support with a monthly pledge of $1, $5, or $10. My guest this week is an original community member and village crazy man of One of Us, Mr. Handsome. Known for such phrases as yeehaw and, well, that's about it. Mr. Handsome brings a unique and witty sense of humor to the community and his streams with an uncanny ability to make people laugh. So sit down, relax, and enjoy the next hour with our good friend, Mr. Handsome, on the One of Us Community Podcast. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 19 of the One of Us Community Podcast. With me tonight is an original One of Us community member, Mr. Handsome. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Thank you all for having me. This is fantastic.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, you've been a part of this community for quite a while now.
Yeah, I don't know how long. It's been a hot second, though. It's definitely been a hot ticket.
I mean, you were probably one of the original members of the community. I think probably even before it was the One of Us community.
Yeah, back then it was the Stream Bros when I joined up, and it's been crazy seeing this whole, I guess, place, I don't know what to call it. This whole Discord just exploded. It's been cool to see it grow.
Now, how did you find the One of Us community originally, or the Super Stream Bros community?
I was just messing around on Mixer one night on the Xbox, and I was looking for a game I haven't seen before, and I came across this dude named Toolator, and I was like, all right, we'll just, and he was playing The Evil Within 2, and I was like, that's cool, I'll see that game, and we just hit it off, and he was like, hey, man, you know, when he's getting off, he's like, hey, man, you know, buddies of mine are doing a co-stream, you know, on Fridays. Come check us out. So I was like, sure. It was Rob and Whiskey and all them. And yep. The rest was history, man. We just hit it off.
Now, you've kind of gained the reputation over the years as, like, the meme master of One of Us. You seem to always have a witty retort to make everybody laugh. Is that just who you are naturally? Like, are you a witty class clown kind of guy?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I like to make people laugh. It's not always something I can do in command, so I kind of got to, like, wait for the right moment to strike.
Take it when you can get it?
yeah, if I can get it in there, I try to, you know. I hate leaving an open door unwalked through.
Yeah.
In that instance.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's talk. I mean, obviously you were on Mixer. Do you play a lot of video games?
I play a lot. Well, yes, I do. Since Youngin Number 2 came along, I haven't had a chance hardly. But yeah, if I'm not working or with the family, I'm playing video games. That's just.
So you got two kiddos now?
Yeah, two. Two and a half year old, and the newest one's just turned a month 2 days ago.
Dude, I didn't even know you had your kid. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. So how do you like being a dad to two?
I like it. I'm not going to say I don't. It just sucks.
Yeah.
It just freaking sucks. Yep. Last weekend was the... You know, talking about video games, last weekend was the first time I touched a video game controller, to not turn on Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah.
month and a half. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, the pregnancy, you know, I had to help out with that, so I just didn't have any time. But
so
it's awesome.
So where did you get started with games? Like, what's your first memory with video games?
Dad had a leftover NES, and he had Duck Hunt and Super Mario.
What else do you need?
Yeah, nothing. That's and I played the heck out of that, and then it died because, you know, you give a 5-year-old and it's a Nintendo, it's gonna die. And but then you know when the N64 came out, Dad bought me that, and Mom and Dad bought me that, and that thing, I played the heck out of that thing.
Oh,
I remember faking like sickness in elementary school to go home. Yeah, like, all I wanted to do was play Super Mario. I didn't know how to do anything. I just ran around and. You know, but it was awesome. That's my earliest memory.
I remember it used to be a thing for the Sega Genesis. It was called Sega Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the first probably game subscription service I think there ever was. And it was a cartridge that slid into your Genesis that had a coax cable port on the cartridge.
Really?
Yeah, and you would plug it in, and each month you would get like, there'd be like 10 games. And like those were the games for the month. And I remember that I had gotten it for like Christmas or something like that. I had gotten the actual cartridge and like the service. And so I was supposed to go back to school like the day that it went live. And I was like, nah, fuck this, you know? And so like I woke up and like just, you know, basically acted like I was dying, deathly ill, right? So Mom's like, well, you're not going to school. You're staying home. Go back up to your room. So I sat there and played Sega Channel like all day. My mom comes up. She goes, you weren't fucking sick, were you? I go, no, not really.
Well, like, look what that started. Like,
yeah.
I mean, school's important. I will not degrade that. But like, I don't know. Just
no. Yeah. Now, granted, I'm not preaching go out, skip school, play video games. You know, because I did end up going on and getting a master's degree in engineering. But
I didn't know I had a master's. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And, but like, you know, when you're a kid, I mean, it was, that's what it was, you know, miss a day of school, play some video games.
Yeah. That's the dream really.
I mean, it still is. I mean, sometimes I wake up and I go, man, I wish I was sick so I could stay home from work and play video games.
Honestly, I'm like, man, I wish I had vacation.
Yeah, right. okay, so you had Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys, did you have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister. She's
okay.
2 years younger than me.
Okay. Did you have to fight her for the Nintendo, or was she?
Not really.
No. So it's kind of your thing, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of my thing. She like the times I did fight her, she was like wanting to play, and I'd be play like, you know, a single player game. I was like, no, get away.
Yeah. It's
my thing.
Same for you.
Yeah. Just get out of here.
Cool. So what games from your childhood do you remember really sticking with you?
Mario 64 for sure. I never got into like the Banjo-Kazooie Zelda games or stuff like that. I was kind of a weird stage where I didn't quite understand certain game concepts.
Yeah.
So like those games was, it was hard for me to grasp, but like, you know, later in life, the bigger ones was like, you know, Driver and, Driver 2.
Yeah. I forgot all about those games. Those are great games.
Yeah. Driver 2 and, the original Halo, that probably the original Halo more than anything, that game blew my brain. That's the first game I like honestly like almost had stomach cramps I wanted so bad.
Really?
Yeah, that game it just stuck with me. I can't explain it.
Now
it's just awesome game.
Did you know, like, did you play shooters before Halo started to come out, or
not really? No.
It was just something that you saw and you were like, "Oh my god, I need to play this."
Yeah, one of the neighbors had an Xbox, and I think I was still rocking the... I may have had a PlayStation 1 at that point.
Okay.
I'm not even sure about that. But, yeah, I didn't get Medal of Honor till later in life. So, yeah, Halo was the first shooter I've ever played. I didn't have GoldenEye or none of that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Fantastic game.
Yeah, okay. So did I assume you ended up getting Halo?
Yeah. It's, I think that next Christmas. It wasn't a year one or year two. I think it was like year three I ended up getting the Xbox, and I played the absolute full out of that.
Played a lot of that. Now, Halo 1, was that when the live service started? Or was that was only local multiplayer, right?
Yeah, it was local multiplayer. So, and I really didn't have... I had friends, but not really, so I just played campaign.
Yeah, okay. Now, is that the type of game that you kind of continued to play throughout? Like, are you still a shooter fan, or do you play a little bit of everything?
Shooter and story is what I picked up from that game. Those two things. If I can find a game that's a good first person shooter and has a good story, or one of the other two, I'm caught. That's my favorite types of games.
So what types of games are you playing these days?
Mainly shooters and story games, like stuff like Borderlands. I love that series.
Oh, do you? Pretty excited for Borderlands 3.
I am stoked. I'm very stoked for that coming out. I don't know if I'm going to get it on PC or Xbox yet.
Oh man,
but
I'm of two minds. I haven't decided yet because I never got in. Like, I was one of those people that I never got into the Borderlands series, and I tried to play it a couple of times. I tried to play Borderlands 1, and then I tried to play Borderlands 2, and it was like I always seemed to like bounce off of them for some reason. But that was also before I kind of got into like the Diablos and the Destinies of the world, and understood like what like the loot grind type of thing is. So I'm kind of curious as if Borderlands 3 is gonna pique my interest and like grab me like those games do.
I hope it does, because it's honestly Borderlands 1. It was their first go at it, so it's different. I'll say that. Yeah, like, as far as like them telling the story, but like it's funny. It's got a good story to it, and like I won't like tell you any like plot twists, but Borderlands 2 had me literally angry,
really,
at the antagonist. Like, I was mad. Man. Like, that doesn't happen much in games.
Yeah, I started after they announced Borderlands 3 a couple weeks ago. I did start a playthrough. I'm gonna give my best effort to finish it, or at least get farther through it to understand how I would feel about Borderlands 3, because everybody that has played like the Borderlands series loves it, and they always, you know, they always tell me about how great it is, and I've never been able to figure out why I bounce off that game so often.
Well, I mean, and I will say on your side, like I've heard that seems to be a common thing. Like,
yeah.
I haven't met too many middle ground people about Borderlands. It's either I tried it, I didn't like it, or like people like getting, you know, tattoos of it on their face.
There's no middle. I think part of my problem is like I've played so much Destiny, and the gunplay in Destiny feels really good, probably better than any shooter out there. And it's hard to go and play other shooters because the guns just don't feel as good, like just don't feel as good as they do on Destiny. And I think it's just like that Bungie magic. It's the same way that Halo Halo did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And I will, yeah, Borderlands, I will say it's a bit more on the arcadey side. So
yeah, but it's fun though, and I find the humor hilarious. Like every time I play it, I laugh at something. You know, there's some sort of goofy humor going on.
Yeah, the writers on, I hope they pay the writers on in that game a lot, because they deserve it.
It's some of like the random like side quips that they have, like, you know, the NPCs and stuff that just is, I find hilarious.
Yeah, it's a brilliant game. I'm a huge fan.
So you got any other games that you're super excited for this year?
Actually, because of you, I'm playing I just lost how to speak English.
That's hard.
Far Cry 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my brother picked it up for me for Ubisoft had a huge sale, so my brother picked it up for my birthday, and I'd say about halfway, I'm assuming, into it, and it's glitchy, but man,
it's a good game.
Loving that game.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's another one that I wish I need to go back and just finish, but I always get distracted doing random shit.
It's so much fun, man.
And
what's worse is, like, I'm the type of player, I like, especially with open world games where they don't give you too much backstory.
Yeah.
I sit and I create this whole backstory for my character.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my game, my character, everything I do is based on the character's mentality that I've made up in my.
Okay. And, so this is a really dangerous question. What is your Far Cry 5 character's backstory?
All right. Well, so here's the thing. You can judge me, people can judge me if they want to. I always play as a female character.
Okay.
Her name is every game, her name is Tempest.
Tempest. Okay.
Tempest.
At least there's some consistency there.
Yeah. She always has this mentality where, like, she starts out kind of like a, you know, like, not quite a goody two shoes, but, you know, by the book type person.
Yeah.
And then, like, she slowly loses her mind as the game progresses. And so right now she's like, you know, the good little rookie cop, you know, just trying to save the world. And like by the end of it, I'll just be killing anybody that gets in my damn. So, like, you know, in the game, it's not, you know, they have generic cars. It's essentially a 69 Chevelle.
Yep.
It's a 69 Chevelle. I saved up for it. Its name is Lacey.
Okay.
And my little sidekick, her name, I forget her name, but, you know, we're going out Thelma and Louise in, you know, Montana. And she had an apartment, and you know, then the cult took over and lost it, joined, you know, it's I feel weird talking about it now, but
I mean, it's a movie I would watch.
I
can see it coming together. It's almost like one of those like buddy cop films. You know.
Yeah. And that's a lot what I am after, like
This could be a YouTube series. I think you're missing the opportunities here, Mr. Hanson.
Well, I definitely have things in like mind to, you know, like, because I really like storytelling. I like making up stories.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, when I can get, my life becomes a little bit more stable, I really am looking into maybe getting into indie games.
Oh, nice.
I just like telling stories, and I want to do that in some platform.
So have you dabbled in any sort of like game development, or would you want to be more on like the writing side?
I kind of don't have a choice but to be on both sides. Be honest with you, you're talking to someone who doesn't know a lot about computers to begin with, so I'm basically starting from scratch, learning everything.
Yeah.
But like, I don't have a doubt in my mind I could figure it out. I just need to learn.
Yeah, it's one of those. I mean, it's one of those things that it's probably just as rewarding if you go and learn it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I would be interested to play any game that you come up with.
Yeah, my brother, he suggested, or I say my brother, we're gamertag Iron. If you ever see him in my stream,
okay,
give him tell him howdy. But we're just good friends that refer to each other as kin. But He wants me to start like messing with ROM hacks and like, you know, get that going.
Oh, see, yeah.
I like it. So I'll probably start doing that for a little while just to get the hang of it.
Now, have you always been kind of like not really a nerdy guy, but like, you know, you like tinkering with technology and things like that?
Yeah, I like to modify anything.
Yeah.
I mean, most of my life it's been cars. But, you know, tinkering with cars and different stuff. But just recently, you know, cars are expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Electronics are expensive, but not as much. So yeah. I'm starting to get into the electronics realm just because I need a hobby that I can afford at the moment.
Have you built a PC yet?
Yeah, I have built my PC, yes.
Oh, my man. How did you like that experience?
It was a blast. It's like a... I mean, I spent, you know, a month and a half just researching everything.
Yeah.
You know, figuring out best bang for the buck and whatnot. In fact, both you and Whiskey helped me a lot on that. Yeah. I don't know if y'all remember, but y'all was very instrumental in that process.
Yeah, I remember. But it took me like almost 3 months to actually order parts for my first PC. Because you're right. I mean, it's so overwhelming. Like, if you don't have... Luckily, I had AJ Swain, and he was helping me with a lot of information on more like what I needed. But I'm the kind of person that, like, I want to nitpick every little piece and, like,
yes,
you know, figure out exactly what I want to, like, maximize my performance. And so that's a lot of what it was. And I think, like, for people like you and myself who like to tinker, building PCs is a very satisfying hobby, because it is, you know, you can tinker until your fucking heart's content, and see the direct results of it. It's almost like building cars, except a lot less expensive.
it's a lot less expensive, and like even the case, I couldn't just have like a vanilla case. I was over at Dad's with an angle grinder at 3 a.m. You know, cutting a hole in the side so I can put some Lexan in it.
Yeah.
And I ended up setting off his fire alarm, and everyone in the house is all mad. But it was a blast, man. I love my little PC.
That's awesome. So you said you used to like to modify cars. What kind of cars have you built?
Mostly muscle cars. Actually, all muscle cars. I had a truck and a Tahoe. Yeah. Didn't really do much to either one.
What's your favorite car that you've worked on?
Probably my one now. It's not really the prettiest or the fastest right now, but it's just I just like it so damn much.
But it's yours.
It's the closest thing I could get to. It's the model down from my dream car. So I'm really just tickled with this car.
So what is it?
It's a 1974 Pontiac Ventura. It's essentially a Nova with a different grill and taillights, and with a Pontiac motor in it. That's the main difference.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty tickled with it.
How long you had that for?
Year and a half now.
Yeah.
I put 6,000-7,000 miles on it.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's my daily too. Like I had to do it. I can't afford to have just a project car on the side. So,
yeah, that's always the tough part, is trying to build a car and still be able to get to and from work to be able to make the money to build the project car.
Yeah, it's rough, but it's my baby.
Now, do you guys don't get, because you're further south in the United States. Do you guys get a lot of snow where you are?
No.
So it's not a big deal to daily that throughout the year.
No, not at all. Especially over here, it's back in North Carolina where I used to live is more mountainous, so we get a bit more snow there.
Yeah.
Here it's honestly, man, I've seen like an inch on the ground, and like I'm used to driving in snow, so it don't bother me as much. But I've seen like cars off in the ditch and flatbeds coming out and getting them. I'm like, come on, people, come on.
Well, that was because like when I was younger, that was always the issue, is that like anytime you wanted to build, whenever you wanted to build a fast car, like there was 3 months out of the year that it was just not safe to drive that car. And so it's like you almost had to have a beater. So I had friends that would have like these, you know, these built Camaros and these built Mustangs that have, you know, $30,000 worth of work done to them. And then their winter car is like a $700 Civic that barely runs, you know?
Yeah. And another thing it sucks about down here, I guess y'all have that problem up there, is they spray that liquid salt on the roads.
Oh, see, we use rock salt, so we don't get the liquid stuff. They just drop freaking rocks in front of you.
that liquid stuff, man, I've seen trucks, cars 6 years old or less that just look like, you know, they sat in the ocean for the past 5 years.
My dad's super particular about his vehicles, and they have a stuff up here, it's called diamond gloss, and basically it's like an extra layer of clear coat, but it's extremely extremely hard. Mm-hmm. And they spray it on the whole vehicle, like paint, really? Underbody, everything. Yeah. To the point where, like, they even tell you, like, you don't really need to dry your car. You don't really need to wax your car for, like, 3 years. Because, like, this clear coat's so hard that, like, the water just runs right off of it.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, but that being said, my dad just sold he had an 08 Silverado. He just sold it last year. And I swear to God, it looks better than the truck that I bought last year. Like brand new, my brand new truck looked worse than his fucking 10-year-old truck, because I mean it's just like that's what it comes down to, is like just taking care of them. But
a lot of people don't, like, they don't wash the underside of their truck or car. Like It's real bad to build up in the quarter panels and your wheel wells and
yeah. So you wanna get into some of these Discord questions?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited for these.
These are fun. So obviously we got answer the standard ones. All right. What's the origin story of your username? Where does Mr. Handsome come from?
All right. So in college, Johnson City, I'm working at a sub shop, and I just lost my English again. they came out with this, like, it was Witch, right? And I don't know if y'all have them up there. No. I don't know how far they shoot up. It's basically like a middle ground between Subway and Jason's Deli.
Okay.
It's not quite as good as Jason's Deli, but yeah. It's a little bit better.
A little bit better than Subway. Okay, I got you.
And they had these little name tags, and I was just being, you know, me. So I was like, you know, hello, my name is Mr. Handsome, you know? And my boss is like, sure, whatever, dude. And it just took off with that. The customers, you know, thought it was funny. My friends thought it was funny. And I made a gamer tag of it, and it just stuck. I just really liked it.
Nice. Toilet paper over or under the roll?
Not on the roll. I set it on. I have an empty little cardboard tube. I leave that on there, and then I just set a loose paper or toilet paper roll on top.
It's funny how I found how many anarchists we have in this community. It just refuse to put toilet paper.
That's if I don't set it on the towel rack. That's
all right. Now, I've been waiting a long time to ask you this question.
All right.
We finally get the answer from the man that created probably one of the greatest questions in this podcast's history. What Spice Girl do you relate with the most?
I forgot all about that. I don't know. To be quite honest with you, I don't even know the Spice Girls. I just asked that out of the top of my head. Here, can I look them up real quick and just be shallow and judge off their looks?
I mean, you wouldn't be the first person to answer this question that way.
I'm looking at the one where they're in front of the British flag. You know what? The one in the purple short dress with the high heels. I want to be her.
That sounds like Posh. That's the one that's married to David Beckham, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep that comment to myself.
Hopefully, hopefully she comes with all that soccer money.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, family knows how to handle balls.
Oh boy.
You know, we can cut that.
No, it's fucking hilarious. who was your role model growing up?
Role model? Shoot fire. That's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. Like, I've never really had, like, a hero that I looked up to.
Really?
Probably my dad, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Probably my dad. I learned a lot from that man. Just even stuff he, like, I bring up to him, and he's like, I don't even remember telling you that.
Right. Remember that, like, time you gave me that really good piece of advice? No, son, it was a long time ago.
Like, one time, like, we borrowed someone's lawnmower and we stopped, and I was like, what are we doing, Dad? He's like, we gotta put gas in the lawnmower. You never borrow a man's lawnmower without filling the tank up. And I use that, you know, ideology for everything. Like, if, you know, you take care of something, you borrow somebody.
Yeah, so you give it back in better shape than you got it.
Yeah, and yeah. I borrowed his truck once and put a full tank in it, and he's like, well, why? You know, you're all short on money. I was like, you never borrow a man's lawnmower unless you fill it with gas. He's like, what? And I was like, all right, dude.
You taught me that.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. That's a good answer. I dig it. Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
Strawberry.
Yeah? Frosted strawberry?
Yeah, for strawberry. It has like a... You know, little sprinkles on it that look like, you know, leftover Fruit Loops.
Yeah, they almost add like the right a little bit of texture to it too. Right?
Yeah, it's. There's like it used a little to be crunch. Salmon for a while, but strawberry all the way.
Nice. All right, we got a bunch of questions from the community, so let's work through some of these, and we'll see what we get to. So, hey, it's PV asks, what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you?
probably running a circular saw through my knee.
Holy shit. That was terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, then we need to hear this story.
Well, you know, after college, we used to have bonfires. I wasn't much of a partier, like big parties, but we had bonfires. A few friends come over.
And, yeah.
You know, get, you know, wasted. But at the time, I was an electrician, so we get scrap wood from all the job sites. Mm-hmm. And six by sixes were, you know, good source of, you know, fire, but they didn't burn real well, you know. And so I was cutting slots into it, you know, trying to make it burn better. Well,
yeah,
I wasn't thinking, and I pulled the guard up on the circular saw, and I went in at a weird angle, and it skipped off across the top of 6x6, and I was kneeling, and it shot right across the top of my knee.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Yeah. At the time, I was like 30 minutes away from, you know, ambulance, town, anything. So, you know, I scared me. I thought, you know, I cut my artery, all these things were.
Yeah.
Panicking, and yeah, that was pretty terrifying.
So, I mean, did you end up being all right?
Like, yeah, I actually had the bleeding stop before they showed up. They
really?
The surgeon, or, you know, whatever, he said that I missed my artery by like 1/16 of an inch.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think dad was like, say, like 35, 40 minutes away, and ambulance was like 30, and he like followed the ambulance up the driveway. He flew.
Wow.
I
would imagine. That's pretty terrifying. Probably done the same thing. That's crazy. Also not surprising somehow.
Yes.
Like, it's a crazy story, but I'm like in no way shocked. Like, I...
that makes me feel good. I think that's everyone needs a crazy story like that, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah. Chaotic Disorder asks, in all caps, by the way, where have you been?
Yeah, just baby duty. You know, I had to, my wife had to go on, you know, bed rest, you know, before the delivery.
Yeah.
So, I pretty much had to give up streaming, and just, I didn't want to, but I kind of had to, you know, just put the community on hold for a little while, just because family first.
Yeah, you gotta be dad number one.
Yeah.
We've had that conversation on the podcast before with, you know, Palp and Moody and Brew, and, you know, I've always said, it's like, I love doing this, I love the community, I love streaming, but man, if that little man wakes up not feeling well and he's yelling for daddy later. See you guys. So do you think, you know, do you plan on getting back into streaming? Like,
I hope so. I be honest with you, like, my heart burns for it. I can't explain it. Like, I just, even with little I streamed, you know,
yeah,
you know, my small followers base, you know, like, I had regulars, I miss talking to them, miss the conversations, I just miss being in that whole just part of life. I can't explain it.
So, holy shit, like, I'm completely out of my sorts today. We completely forgot to talk about how you got into content creation.
Yeah.
I skipped over half the fucking podcast because I was so excited about some of these questions. But yeah, so how, I mean, at what point, like, when did you decide to really start streaming?
Going back, like, before I met Tool, I started out just watching Mixer. I wasn't really into, like, watching streamers other than, like Rooster Teeth on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I started watching Mixer and watching Cabby.
Yeah.
He was, like, I think the first person I ever clicked on. And, you know, watching him, I was like, you know, I think I'd be good. You know, I feel like I'm, you know, somewhat entertaining. And, you know, I like to talk to people and stuff. And, you know, I started talking to Tool and, you know, got involved in the community. And, you know, Rob, Whiskey, and all them were like, you know, do it, you know. Man. When are you going to get into it? And that's basically, you know, they helped cultivate it. And that's how I got into it, man.
So when was do you remember the first time you went live?
Yeah, I actually started playing. I did a little bit on Lightstream. Like, I played Fallout 4.
Okay.
And a little bit of Metro. And it was, I don't really consider that because that was me just, you know, testing the waters. Like, I didn't really have my heart into it, so I don't really quite consider that. But the first time, I think I played Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo Classic. And I enjoyed that quite a bit. I don't think anyone showed up, but it was a blast.
I was going to say, I must have missed that one because I never seen you stream Super Nintendo. I would have been all about that.
Yeah, I streamed for 6 hours. I think, you know, I had a couple, you know, people show up, disappear, but it was a blast, man. I enjoyed it. I still enjoy it.
So, you know, when you first clicked go, you know, go live, right, and you started streaming, like what really drew you in and made you realize this was something that you wanted to do on like a consistent basis?
To be quite honest with you, my main drive this whole time is just to make friends. I don't have a lot of like in real life friends.
Yeah.
Immediate family, and that's really about it. So I really just wanted to, you know, meet people that were like-minded and just have a good time. Maybe make some people laugh, you know, and vice versa. And that's honestly been my only goal with streaming, was just to make people laugh. You know, I definitely have growth goals, but yeah, that's my main driving force even today,
so, just to make friends. Like, what games, like, out of the games that you have played on stream, like, what are your favorite types of games to stream?
To stream? That's a good question, and I'm not really sure because I'm still, like, you know, testing what I like and what I don't like.
Yeah.
I really like story games. I really just like playing a story. And, you know, but co-op games probably the best just because, you know, especially when Ginger and I was doing the Saturday Shit Show, we were just dicking around. Like, it was a blast.
Yeah.
Like, so anything I can play with somebody, not big into competitive games such as, like, you know,
Battle Fortnite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do enjoy Siege. I suck on a keyboard still. That's one of the reasons why I'm playing Far Cry, so I can get used to the keyboard and not have to worry about,
clutching a
win.
Yeah, that's a good game to learn on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, I was just thinking like that whole story about you having the backstory for your character and playing through them, like that'd be really fun to watch.
Yeah.
Play into that and do like almost like an episodic thing. Be like, episode 4, Tempest starts to lose her cool.
That's a brilliant. I never thought of that. I might actually, I might have to do a restart on the Far Cry. That's a good idea.
I mean, I'm sure there's other games out there that you could do the same thing with. Have you played any of the other Far Cry games?
Far Cry 3 was the last one I played.
Oh, okay. And you skipped the less important one.
Yeah.
Far Cry 4 was great, but it wasn't as good as 3 and 5, in my opinion.
Yeah, and like 1, 2, and what was it? Instincts. Those were just like so. They were. I liked them, but they were just out there.
Yeah.
And these new ones, I love.
Yeah.
The newer ones. But.
No, that episodic, like, just make like a weekly like episode of Tempest in whatever game, and like it could span multiple games, you know. And dude, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
I'm gonna write that down real quick. I really like that.
Oh man.
So if you hear some ruffling, I apologize, everybody. I need to write it down.
See? Content creation. Always have a notebook nearby. All right, let's jump back into these Discord questions, because I think we'll probably get into more streaming talk as we get through these. Robert M. Catalano says, "You're so incredibly witty. What is your favorite one-liner to use on people?"
Probably something rash related. like if someone asks me to do something, I'm like, "I got this, like a rash in a place." And like at first they're like, "All right," you know, because they're, you know, people just used to saying no, and then they start to think about what I just said, and they're like, "What?" Just don't worry about it, man.
Don't worry about it. I got it.
Or like Thursday I left work, or yesterday I left work, and I was like, you know, my boss was there, my boss's boss, and a boss from a different part of the building was there, and I was like, "Well, guys, I'm gonna make like a rash and leave, but I'll be back soon." And she was like, "What?" And I was like, "No." She's like, "Do I wanna know?" Like, "If you want to, but I'm not gonna be nice about it." And she's like, "I'm good.
I'm good. Like, all right. Have a good weekend."
Oh, yeah, my rule is if I can't make you laugh, I at least want to make you feel awkward.
Yeah, I mean that's a good. I mean I think that's a good goal. If you could do both, then why not, right?
Yeah, that's icing on the cake.
So Rob also asks, why are you still here?
Like I said before, like y'all are my friends. Like, yeah, outside of one of us, I don't have a social life. I mean, that's not the only reason. I really like the community.
It's been a good group of people.
Like before Project Brightside, I thought we were, you know, very good at like being open-minded, open arms type of community. And when that thing launched, I didn't even know about it, and I was like, "This is awesome." I don't know, just good group of people, and we seem to be attracting good groups of people.
This has been in the works for quite a while, and I won't get too deep into it because we're actually gonna have Tingles on next week.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll talk more in depth about, you know, Project Brightside and a lot of that stuff. But yeah, no, it's incredible, like the amount of amazing people that we have in our community, and how well everybody kind of gets together and you know, comes together.
Yeah. I mean, look at Stream Help. I anytime Stream Help highlights, I try to click on and see if, you know, I can help or direct somebody. And not only like stream team and security, but we got like people that, like, you know, I've never seen before helping other people out. It's amazing. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. I love it. Like, that's as a content creator, that's what I always wanted to do, was to build a community just like this. And I'm glad that I found, you know, Rob and Tool and Whiskey and Jay, and we were able to kind of put a team together that could bring these types of people together and create this community. Because I do believe that this is what people are looking for a lot of times on the internet. You know, it's just friendship, right? Just genuine people that want to hang out and have a good time. And I'm glad that we can provide that for people, or at least help. Yeah. At least help facilitate it, because really the people that are there are the ones that are making the community. It's not us.
Yeah. And it's, I said this before, it's refreshing to be in like on the internet and not have to worry about getting, you know, dogged for having a certain point of view. Like, there is like trolling. We do that, but
oh yeah.
Like, but it's a nice good friend. Just to be yourself.
Yeah. It's more like busting balls with your buddies, you know, as opposed to like trying to like actually tear somebody down.
Yeah, like, you know, it's a lot different than, you know, the YouTube comment section. Like, it's just, I don't know, it just makes me happy.
Hadrail asks, what type of milk do you drink?
Vitamin D.
Yeah? So that's like kind of like whole milk, right?
Yeah, whole milk. I like that good feeling.
Hell yeah. Dude, I'm the same way. I can't do skim milk. I don't know what these people drink it.
The wife drinks that lactose intolerant. She gets bad, you know, stomach problems. But
okay.
And it's not bad. It's really not. It's honestly like the difference between whole milk and like 2%. It's not bad to swap. It's just I gotta have my whole milk.
My mom used to buy that like silk, like soy milk bullshit, and like I never drank it. But like if I was in a pinch where like I had just downed like, you know, 6 fresh chocolate chip cookies like right out the oven and you need a glass of like something like milk, it'll do. But yeah, I mean, I'm a whole milk guy too.
And even then you'd be like, I probably should
just drink water. Yeah. Yeah,
like, there's some mud outside I could have slopped up real quick.
If you could create a super dog breed, what dogs would you take traits from?
I would go reverse trend and like create the biggest dog I could. Like I want a slightly bigger than a pony sized collie. Like that to me sounds awesome. like Great Dane size, just big fluffy collie dog. That's what I would love.
Could you imagine the logistics behind that?
I mean, your life would be like 100% concern about dogs having sex. Like that would be, that would be your life.
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, I love long haired dogs. They shed like crazy, but there's just something fulfilling about grabbing a dog and like, it just, your whole hand's full of just fluffiness.
Now, for the record, I've had labs all my life, and you can still grab a handful of a lab and get, and you know, come out with a handful of hair without a problem. Yeah. We had a my parents had a an English lab, so they're like a similar to an American lab, but they're a little bit huskier. Okay. They got short, somewhat a little bit shorter legs. They're still great, you know, great retrievers. But this dog, my parents have this huge bay window in the front of their house, and when the sun shines through it, like, you can just like see everything. And I still remember this day, like, that dog would walk over to the bay window and just do a little shake like dogs do, and you would just see like the cloud of hair just like float up into the sky, and you're like, oh man. So are you a big dog person?
Yeah, I love dogs. I hate to keep going back, but like with two kids and three dogs, like, I'm starting to like dogs less. But
so you know, what kind of dogs? What kind of dogs do you have?
We have a one hound mix. Okay. That's one hound mix, one brindled collie.
Oh wow! Okay.
And one pit bull. And the collie's what, 3 years old? Border brindled collie's 2 years old, and the add a year to both of those two. Okay. And then the pit bull is he's a year old.
Oh, he's just a little pup.
Yeah, he's don't let the other two hear, but he's the best dog I've ever had. He's just,
yeah.
When he's happened to be wherever he is. When we got him as a puppy, my collie, he was like showing teeth, like he doesn't attack anybody, but he wants you to know it's his turf.
Yeah.
And the pit bull, he walked up and like licked my collie's teeth, like licked the canines. He didn't care. He's like, you do it, buddy. Just try it. And like he's just happy. So I like that little dude.
Coda's been one of those dogs where like she trained really well. She was really easy to like house train. There were certain habits of hers that we couldn't break, and we've kind of just decided to live with, because none of them were like destructive or dangerous or anything like that. It was just like she gets excited when people come over. Mm-hmm. But like as soon as our son was born, like everything changed, and not for like the worst, but like she became so protective of him, like when we brought him home, that like, you know, we've got a field behind our house, and like the neighbors go out there and they'll do target practice and whatnot. And the first time they did that after we brought him home, he was laying in like a little rocker next to the couch, and as soon as she heard the first shot, she ran over to the couch and just kind of stood up over like the top of him, just like ready to just like annihilate anybody that came to try to hurt him. And it's flipped a switch in her, and it's been mostly good, but it's kind of triggered her anxiety a lot more, because, you know, a lot more things like set her off. Mm-hmm. But it was amazing to see the complete change in her personality, because it used to be nothing ever bothered her, and then as soon as he was born, like anything that seemed awry, like she jumped right to his side.
That's good.
It's great.
Is she real thundershy now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she didn't used to be, because I remember like the first time, you know, we brought her home, and like probably like a couple months, like a month or two later, we had a really bad thunderstorm, and my wife and I were both out at the time. Like we were both at work, and I came home thinking, oh my God, she's going to be freaking out with the thunder. She's like just chilling in her crate, ready to go. And I'm like, you want to go outside? She gets all excited. She's running around outside. She hears the thunder. She looks up. She's like, okay, that's fine. Now, like the smallest rumble of thunder, she's like, ruff, 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 ruff. I'm like, oh man, poor little pup. Oh,
baby. Yeah.
So, Pug asks, what's your greatest or your biggest achievement in life?
I'm going to have to say my youngins. I feel like a cop out, but I'm just like,
I mean,
just proud of them. I really am.
As a dad, like, I 100% understand that.
Before my life, I had like, you know, not quite an identity crisis, but I was like, you know, what am I going to do? Like, I want to do something important.
Yeah.
And then like when my wife got pregnant with my first, I'm like, you know, that part of me was fulfilled. Like, I'm like, my goal is to raise this youngin. Like that. So, you know, I still have goals and aspirations in life, but I'm definitely going to say my youngins is probably my greatest, you know.
I think it first clicked for me when we got the dog, and like there was a moment where like I was just sitting on the couch with my wife and my dog, and like we're just chilling watching TV, and I'm like, wow, like having a family is pretty dope. And then like almost a year to the day later, like I had the same exact moment with like my wife, my dog, chilling on the couch, except my son was on my lap, and I'm like, this is it right here. Like, this is, we're here, boys.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. Like, you know, like my daughter, like I'm trying to get her in the cars and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and she's taking on a little bit, but like, I don't know. I know, like, you know, when I'm in my like 60s and 70s, I'm gonna look back fondly on like running through Walmart making engine sounds in the shopping cart, and her just, you know, hell laughing, yeah, or, you know, hinding off.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm, you know, happy or proud of, I should say.
Yeah. It's a very, very rewarding experience, that's for sure. So Pug also asked, what's the most generous thing you've ever done in your life that you're proud of?
I don't know. I really don't. I mean, probably being on security staff, you know, just, you know, being like an A+, you know, member.
Yeah.
You know, being the best person, you know, around.
Yeah. Clearly.
General great guy.
Yeah.
Really pillar of the community.
Easily, you know.
Yeah. That's probably, I don't know.
I don't know how you're so humble.
It takes a lot of work. It's not for anybody. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. I do. I feel honored that you've chosen to grace our community.
Yeah.
With being the poster boy of humility and excellence.
Yeah. The epitome of human physical.
Now, does it hurt when you piss excellence?
It does. It honestly, it sounds a lot like gold bricks hitting the side of a toilet. Like it's bad. But, you know, that's the price of greatness. I usually just try to be a nice, you know, helpful person in general, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Is that Southern hospitality?
Yeah, to be honest with you, like I just like to help people.
Wolfie Boy 1999 asks, and I'm partially terrified to ask this question. What's the craziest thing you've ever done with your friends?
In all honesty, I'm pretty tame. Probably the craziest thing I've ever done was when Fast Five came out. My brother and I, we watched it in the theaters. I got all hyped, you know, seeing all the, you know, cool cars, you know, yeah, back before Fast and Furious really tanked. And at the time, I had a 77 Firebird. And I'm sorry, I like telling stories. So
no, that's what this is for.
I really like telling stories. But at the time, I had a 77 Firebird of Sprint. And it had someone before me took out the 301 and put in just a crate motor 350. And I had I had another 74 Nova that needed a lot of work, but it had a 77 truck block with shaved Vortec heads. I put a cam in it and I had an intake.
Oh my God.
You know, it wasn't like super fast, you know.
No, but it was some bolt on power.
Yeah. Flat top pistons, 30 over. It was a stout little motor, but the car needed a lot of work. So I was like, I'm going to put that 350 in, you know, the Pontiac. And I was like, let's do it. And I'm like, now? He's like, sure. So we go home. This is like 10 o'clock at night. So we get all our tools together, go over to dad's shop he was renting at the time, and we pull a motor and put it in. And what, like 10 or 12 hours overnight?
See, what's the Fast and the Furious? Then you came home and did a motor swap.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I look fondly. You know, me, classic rock blaring Hot Summer Night. Just, you know, it was that was
just the most redneck fucking shit you've ever seen.
Yeah, and at the time, you know that Buck Cherry song, White Trash Millionaire.
Yep.
He's like, I got a Trans Am and Prime of Paint that came on, and like the hair on my arm stood up.
Yeah,
I was like, hot damn,
this song speaks to me.
It does, you know. And yeah, that was probably the craziest thing I've ever done.
Oh my gosh.
When we did the swap, I didn't tell Dad. I just told him I changed my
changed the oil real quick.
My header gaskets, because they were leaking. And Dad's like, wow, them header gaskets made this car sound good. And I was like, I know. he still brings it up how I lied to him. I was like, I didn't lie, because I did change
them. I mean, they were new header gaskets.
Yeah, they were brand new. I love that car, man. It was there was an eighth mile in the next county over, and we went down to that strip. And the first time I had that motor out, running, I went down the strip, and halfway down the strip, the car starts revving extremely high. Uh-oh. I start slowing down, and there's just smoke pouring out the back of the car. And I'm like, this is it. I don't know what I did, but I screwed up the cam. I did something wrong. And I was like, wait a minute. So I let off the gas for a second and then stopped back on it, and the car bites and takes off. And halfway down, it was open diff, so I'm not saying it was super stout car.
Yeah.
But halfway down the track, the one wheel spinning was spinning so fast that I wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, my so, God.
That was a fun little car. I miss that car. It handled like a wagon, but I miss that car.
So leading into this next question, Obi Burt Kenobi asks, who's the most redneck in the one of us community other than you? And he says, he says wink wink, so I think he's talking about himself.
He might be. I feel like off stream, his bottom lip pooches out, and he carries around a Dr. Pepper bottle. And
yeah, he's got that in circle it, yeah. in his back of his jeans pocket.
He's listening to Florida Georgia Line. Yeah, all the time. Same song.
He's got the cleanest cowboy boots you've ever seen.
Yeah. I've actually debated this quite a bit, like to the point where I started breaking down different people's personalities. It was, and to be honest with you, it was between you, Ginger Slayer, and Tool.
Wow. And that's high company to put me in. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And I'll be honest, I weeded you out because I was like, you remind me of like a classy, like country club type of countryman. and that's why I weeded you out. And to be a redneck, you have to have a goofiness to you.
Yeah.
Like, and there's different, types of goofiness to a redneck. There's, get out of here, we don't like you type redneck. They annoy you just by being around. But there's the fun redneck.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to, and I'm sorry, Ginger, I love you, but I'm going to have to give it to Tool, man. He's just that, I don't know, the happy-go-lucky type, redneck type person, man.
Could you imagine if you could put Ginger's beard on Tool's face? What kind of redneck that would create?
He would,
the world might implode.
It might,
It might implode into an explosion of just, PBR and skull.
It would. You're like... Wrangler Jeans... his stream would probably be sponsored by Wrangler Jeans at the point.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. He would have a line of jeans that comes with the skull can already in the back pocket.
Could you imagine that commercial? Him doing that spin, pooching out his butt with his little duck face?
New Wrangler tools.
That would be amazing.
This podcast has gone so far off the rails. I fucking love it. I fucking love it. Whiskey Tango asks, what's your favorite meme?
I don't know if I can say my 100% favorite meme.
Within reason.
Within reason? Well, I can say that meme, it always has some really messed up text, and it has Jerry from Tom and Jerry with that messed up face.
Yeah.
That or the jazz music stops memes are my favorite. Those
mm-hmm.
those are my favorite, but probably my favorite is podcast friendly is it's a guy and a girl talking, and he's he's explaining how everyone has their own experiences. We go through life and we learn different things, and what's common to one person might not be common to another. And it goes through this whole drawn out thing and how we're all different. And then it gets to the end. And he's like, so excuse me if I've never heard of, and then puts his finger quotes up and goes, heard of toilet paper. just the build up to it. It had me going. I love that meme.
I think delivery is very important on memes, and I think a lot of people negate, don't pay attention to delivery enough.
you got to.
You got to.
A lot of people just think you can deep fry them and
Yeah, no, you got to have a little bit of misdirection.
Yeah.
Whiskey also asks, can you do any accents? And if so, do one.
I can't. I try to do like an Irish accent or a British accent. It always like act up Australian accent. Even it's not good.
You got a pretty good Southern accent going.
I got a great Southern accent. It gets even worse when I meet someone more Southern sounding than me. I was at the food court once, and I walked by this one fella, and he's like, oh, excuse me, fella. And I was like, yes, sir, mister. And I'm pretty sure he thought I was making fun of him, but like my Southernness exponentially grows around more Southern people.
You have like a Southern battle. Like, I'm more Southern than you.
Yeah, it's like, but,
let's get into some of your meant to be's questions.
Yeah, that's.
So she's I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of them on the podcast, but she's always got, you know, some very interesting and philosophical ones. But
she does. I'm rather impressed.
One that always comes up, it seems to be pretty fun to talk about, is if you could be one character in any game, comic book, or superhero movie, who would it be and why?
I hate to sound like the people that have the Punisher stickers on their lifted Jeeps, but the Punisher, like how cool would it be just to be a vigilante where you know what, you killed a person, now you're 6 feet under, good luck buddy. Like, I don't know, I really like that, as bad as that sounds maybe, but like justice for the sake of justice type mentality.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool concept, you know, like just going around just being a vigilante just for the sake of creating justice.
Yeah, and you know, helping people. But if you know, not that, I want to be a Gundam pilot in the worst way.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, I remember being a kid, like, laying on my bed, physically mad that I couldn't be a Gundam pilot. Like, like I was mad at the universe. I want it so bad.
What do you mean I can't fly a robot? What is something that the community doesn't know about you?
I don't know, man. I try to be kindly an open book.
So open, you can't answer the question.
Yeah, it's because I'm so humble, you know?
Yeah, clearly.
Probably, I wasn't born a Southern.
Really?
Yeah, I was actually born about an hour outside of Philadelphia.
No shit.
But... You know, side note, you know, during the Great Depression, everyone from where, you know, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, all moved up to that certain area I'm from in Pennsylvania. Okay. And so, like, all my family is, you know, Southern, of Southern heritage, you know, one way or the other. And so, like, I actually had neighbors that, you know, my grandparents knew, you know, from, you know, several states away.
Yeah, wow. Okay, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so, yeah, I haven't really told anyone that, so.
Well, exclusive podcast, exclusive.
I didn't want to lose any credibility as a Southerner, you know.
That's why I asked the hard hitting questions. Investigative journalism with Rock. What's the funniest pickup line you've ever heard?
I really don't know. Probably that Robot Chicken skit where that guy like runs into a bar to this, you know, very attractive woman. He goes, "Hey, baby, are you an angel? Because I have an erection." like that's probably the funniest because it's dumb.
Fair, yeah, I know that's pretty funny.
Especially like Robot Chicken, like in between like you know, a Teen Titans skit and like a Transformers skit, like just to have that thrown in there just threw me off. So.
If you were hired to show tourists what life is really like where you live, what would you show them or have them do?
What life is really like? We'd go sit in traffic for about 30 minutes and work a dead-end job and go home and try to keep from crying in front of your kids. Like that's what we would do.
Well, that took a dark turn.
I mean, am I wrong?
I mean, that's everywhere, though. That's not specific to your area.
That's true. I don't know. I'd probably take them down the parkway, show them some of the mountains. I really don't like Knoxville, so I really wouldn't go near Knoxville. I hate cities. Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely hate cities. So I'd probably just show them some of like the Tennessee rivers around here and stuff like that. Maybe a couple burger joints, get them a good burger.
I thought Knoxville was a cool city. I spent some time there with my last job. And it was a cool city. Like the old part of the city was all right. Again, I'm not like a big city person though.
Mm-hmm.
But as a tourist, it was obviously the best bang for your buck on where to go to, you know, have a few beers and get some food.
Yeah.
But the area, the area outside of there, getting like up into the Smokies, and things like that, it's such beautiful landscape out there.
It is. I love the Appalachian Mountains. I'd like to see the Rockies, and I know they're bigger and more, you know, essentially majestic. But I don't know, man. Just seeing that blue haze at sunset, it just makes me happy.
The Rockies are wild because it's completely different on a scale factor, right? It's mm-hmm. like, because I grew up around the Adirondacks, and you know I've seen the Appalachians obviously, and then this past year I was out in California for a little while, so I was able to see the Rockies, and you know the Appalachians are beautiful, you know Smokies are beautiful, they're similar to what I've seen, but when you get out to the Rockies, it's just like the scale of them. And the size of them is just so different from anything that you've ever seen that it is an experience. It is an experience to see. And we actually drove up into them. We drove up into Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
And like you drive and you're driving up for like an hour. And then you walk up to like one of the areas that you can stop and take pictures and stuff. And you look over the edge and like your brain can't fathom, like can't really like comprehend or calculate like how high up you are, so it's like this really like surreal feeling looking over the edge.
Really, that sounds awesome.
It was pretty wild. I thoroughly enjoyed it. We only had like a day there because we were there for work, so it was like a rush trip to to see those and see the redwoods and all that, but it was pretty cool. In what situations do you wish you could throw down a smoke bomb and disappear?
Any time I'm in like a real crowded area.
Yeah.
I like people, but I can't stand people at the same time. I just, if I could, like, if I was at a party or, you know, a huge party or, you know, Walmart on paycheck day, like I don't like being crowded places.
I'm 100% the same way. especially now with a family, it's like it's gotten even worse. Like I don't, you know, it's like the weirdest things run through my head when I'm out with my family in a crowded area.
Yeah, you start to, you know, get paranoid now. Mm-hmm. Like we was out in the parking lot and the car was off by itself, and I was still like double checking,
make
sure my daughter was like, right there on me. Like I don't like it.
So. If an epic feast was to be held in your honor, what would be served on the table?
Oh, man. Barbecue. Like, we'd have a pig picking. Like, it's full, a like, pig half pig there.
Picking.
Pig. Yeah, it's where, you know, like, the pig in half.
Oh, I know what it is. Yeah, I'm just so glad that you said that.
Oh, man. I love a good pig picking. Like, it's the best pork I've ever had.
Yeah. All right, so explain to those people, because I know Obi's gonna come in and be, what's a pig picking?
Well, what's a pig picking? I was trying to think of a way to explain like a kerosene tank to someone who may not have seen one. Yeah. It's like this big kerosene tank, which is big, like it's normally used to hold, you know, like your fluid for to heat your house.
Mm-hmm.
But instead we cut it in half and fill it full of charcoal and put a pig on top. Yeah. And it, you know, we spray it with barbecue and you know, it sets for, you know, 6-7 hours I think at least. And
usually the whole pig.
Yeah, usually the whole pig. The ones I've been to, they just had half a pig because it's cheaper. It wasn't that many people.
It's cheaper, legit, because it's like a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
About half price.
I mean, obviously, all the intestines are, you know, taken out, but, like, it's like half a pig head, you know, legs and all. And it's just laying out there for the world. And everyone gets a plate, walks up to the grill, picks the meat off from the carcass and you know, chows down. It's best real, pork I've ever had.
It's real good.
So pig picking and some mashed potatoes and you know, gotta have sweet tea, you know. Just a good old time.
Let me tell you. Okay, they always say, like, they always have like the stereotype that sweet tea is only good in the South. It's not a stereotype, man. There is no good sweet tea up here in the up north.
Is there not?
No, man. I when I was down in Tennessee, or like when I'm down in Florida or whatnot, and I've gotten sweet tea, I'm like, this is incredible. And I try to find the same thing up north, and it's just not good.
Yeah, it's. I don't know how. I don't know how y'all do it. Like, there's been days that, like, McDonald's dollar sweet tea is the only reason, like, I didn't quit my job.
Even like, McDonald's yeah. sweet tea sucks up here.
That makes me sad.
It's so bad.
Maybe it's the air.
It must
different
be.
Different air up there.
It must yeah. be. What's your favorite sound?
Favorite sound?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say, like, a cam V8. Like,
yes,
like thumping ground. Have you, like, I'm sure you have. This is more
my brother,
but have you ever been like around like a big block Chevrolet?
Yep.
Cammed and like the ground beneath you shakes. You
can feel it in your feet. Yeah,
it's like, oh my goodness, man. It's right up there with a thunderstorm coming in. Like, it's hair standing up on your arms.
The
it's
last
amazing.
The last time I asked this question, I think, was to Jay, and I answered literally the same exact answer that you just said. And like, I don't think anybody that listened to it understood it, but like, so I went to school in Michigan, and mm-hmm. every year we go out there in August for the Woodward Dream Cruise. And it's basically a huge cruise. They shut down Woodward for like 20 miles, and it's just bumper to bumper, like muscle car, supercar, like just awesome, like car traffic. So like, it's like a car show, but the cars are actually driving.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you get all kinds of those cars that just come by, just like these huge, just like blown 454s with just cams that can barely fucking idle, and it's just like, yeah. blah, 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 and you feel it like in your chest. Oh yeah. Dude, it's the greatest.
Oh man, it's like, and I like you said, I can't explain it. Like, it's like somewhere there's an eagle shedding a tear of proudness when that happens.
It's right.
Like in the distance, like Carry On My Wayward Son's like playing across the Rockies. Like it's a beautiful thing.
Somebody's opening a Coors Light.
Oh, that's awesome.
What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
I was thinking something obscure. Like, I was thinking, how cool would it be, like, if you had an ice cream truck going, and it'd be like the weekend party truck. And yeah, like, okay. For gamers.
I'm
and, like,
you.
My concept was, like, you know, he'd have, like, cheaper beer. Not, like, natural light beer, but, like, you know, more cheaper, like, Bush. Or yeah, not, yeah. Like, better cheaper beer. Like Bush, maybe some.
Bud Miller Coors. Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe some Killian's in there. Oh, Yingling. You know,
yeah,
some
higher. Red Dog.
Higher end beer.
Yeah.
Huh? But, like, have that, you know. But also have, like games, like, you can play with your buddies. You know,
yeah,
like,
okay.
Mario Kart, you know, like.
Yeah, all right.
Stuff like that.
I'm with
you.
You
know. He comes by one week, you play games, and like, he shows up the next week, you swap him out, and you know, I think that'd be a cool idea.
I think you're on to something.
Yeah. Maybe he plays like you know, the Trooper from Iron Maiden instead of like some cheesy like ice cream song. Yeah. No. Like, that'd be awesome. I'd do that.
I think you got a business plan. You should probably go to the yeah. bank, get a business loan right now. Drive that shit right to my neighborhood.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. I'd love it.
All right, one more, and I had to save this one for last because I literally burst out laughing when I read this. Hadriel asked, if you could have the power of teleportation, but every time you teleported, you would shit yourself, would you use your power?
100% yes. Like, and this, I have another story with this. Like, you know, like, I had like a whole like superhero like story going on. Like, at first, you know, I'd like use it to mess with y'all, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine like Rob like streaming and then like I show up behind him, like, like how cool that would be?
That would be the greatest thing.
Like, and then like, but it would progress to, you know, where like, you know, I would, you know, eventually try to weaponize it for good. you know, like, you know, some terrorists, you know, like hijack, you know, the prime minister's plane, like the Japanese prime minister's plane. So like I imagine like the head terrorist guys like stand there in the cockpit, you know, like with the prime minister, and like outside the cabin door, you hear like all these gunshots and screams and like some faint like and then right at the end, like you see a shadow, like it goes quiet outside and you hear nothing, and then like you see a shadow like cast on the terrorist's neck, and then followed by this real squeak, like, and then like this god awful like wet splat, and like, and that would be a movie.
I do like the fact though that your first thought of how to use this power would be to troll Rob by pooping on his stream.
Yeah, I don't think people are prepared or don't realize just how willing I am to like sacrifice my own well-being to mess with somebody else.
Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on and joining us. This has been, I don't know if I've laughed this hard at a podcast yet. So thank you for taking the time. I know it's probably been crazy with the little ones, but before we go, why don't you let people know where they could find you when you do start streaming again?
One of us Discord first off and foremost.
Hell yeah, yeehaw!
Anybody needs me, just DM me. I'm the guy with the motor face that looks like a goat head. And find me at Mr. Handsome on Mixer, and that's where you find me.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
And, hey, it's been my honest pleasure. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you everybody for listening. Until next time, I'm Rock City Roller. Bye. And that'll be it for the 19th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. Huge thanks to Mr. Hanson for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us. Please make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you receive podcast content. We are now on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, as well as many other podcast platforms. If you can, please rate and review the podcast. This will move us up in the search results and help others find the community. Additionally, you can support the podcast with a monetary pledge at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support to help support production and commission costs. Don't forget to join the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus to chat with all of our guests, submit questions for future episodes, and additionally, we feature LFG, streaming and tech support, monthly game giveaways, and great conversation with over 2,000 members. You can find me on Mixer, Facebook, and Instagram at RoxyRoller, YouTube at RoxyRollerTV, and Twitter at RoxyRoller1. For more awesome content from the One of Us stream team, be sure to check out the team page on Mixer at www.mixer.com/team/oneofus. I'll be sure to include that link in the show notes as well. Next week's guest is Tingles, who will join us to talk about gaming, content creation, and the community's newest feature, Project Brightside. Until then, I'm Roxy Roller, and this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.